It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artists. You're listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com, presented by nowandthenmagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I am so excited about today's show. We have Alberta's own Nice Horse here with us today talking about their latest single, Cowgirl, which was co-written by the big hit country artist and amazing singer-songwriter, Jason Blaine, who has just announced that he is putting out his own and coming back on October 23rd with his new EP entitled Go With Me. I am so happy to have Krista Woodlett here with me today for Music's Journey, and we have lots of music, talk behind the lyrics and songs about one of the fastest rising country acts in country music today. The band is made up of Brandi Sidorek, Katie Rocks, Tara McLeod, and my guest Krista Woodlett. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. So have you guys been busy in the studio?
We were lucky that we actually... when COVID hit, we had had a lot of things recorded already. We were quite busy in February and in 2019 recording. So because we all live in separate cities. Mm-hmm. So it's been a little challenging for us. We actually are trying to record something now, but we're spread across the country. So it's definitely a little different than it used to be.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I know that you guys are living in different areas. So it's been pretty tough to be able to connect going through all this, especially when you guys have come so hot off the plate in 2019.
Yeah, well, and we definitely do feel lucky that we had so many songs recorded going into this, because it did give us, you know, Cowgirl we had recorded previously, which was great. Mm-hmm. And that's done better than we could have imagined. And we just try to stay connected with each other virtually, but it's definitely not as fun as it used to be.
Well, it's so different. And we talk about this all the time. So different when you're online talking to each other and then, you know, you're trying to talk to your fans and they're typing you questions. It's not the same thing as being able to ask personally, mm-hmm. you know, something. And it's just not quite that same connection. So it couldn't have been easy for you guys. The style you guys have got, you guys are so good.
Oh, thank you.
So good. This is so exciting for country music. And I think that's why you've seen the acceptance of the fans. You guys got to be so excited.
Well, it's it's weird that, you know, it's 2020 and we're kind of the only self-contained all-girl group in country music. Like, mm-hmm. that's nuts. Like, when we tour, it's just us on stage. Like, I'm the drummer, Brandi plays bass, Tara's our guitar player, and Katie plays guitar, banjo. So it's crazy that we're kind of the only ones filling that little niche in the market. But mm-hmm. we've been really grateful for the reception that we've gotten, for sure.
You've got one way of staying connected, and we have to talk about it because it's what I feel like right now. You do a show every single Monday morning. You know, it's called Wine at 9, and it's Mountain Time, which you guys, you know, do on Facebook. God, tell us about that.
We do. So we started Wine at 9 back in March, kind of when the lockdown happened. And because that's how we felt, exactly. Like, we were like, well, what else? And we originally tried to do a little Facebook Live in the evening, but I'm sure you remember in March, like, it was like everyone and their dog was trying to get on the internet and do live shows because artists were just reeling, you mm-hmm. know, from having all these shows canceled and being stuck at home. And we were having major bandwidth problems trying to talk to each other from four different places in the evening. And so we thought, well, what if we just do 9 a.m. on it? Like, who's up at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning in lockdown? But we're like,
it's
at least...
genius, girls. Genius.
At least if no one is around to watch us, we can just talk to each other, we thought. So...
I loved it. I'm reading and I'm going, okay. And then I'm watching you guys. I'm going, this is so perfect. I need to be part of this group. I really do. It's such a great idea. Such a great idea. And so much fun. And you guys got such great personalities. So how does that all work together?
We are legitimately friends. Like, I think sometimes people sometimes think that we've been sort of put together somehow, like the Spice Girls. We're like, you know, like, we'd be a lot more successful if we were, I think, put together by a label. But no, we're actually friends. Like, Brandi and Katie have known each other for I think, well over 10 years now. They were both solo artists for a long time, and met in Vancouver. And Brandy and I played in a band together, an indie pop band, for years. And when we met Tara, it was just like instant. And
The glue was made.
And so, like, we have fun together. We like each other. We genuinely miss each other. It's sad that I don't get to tour with these girls and rehearse with them right now. I really miss it.
Wynette Nine, here we come. Is there anything that you guys let slip? Because, like, you guys are just talking, right? Is there anything that you let slip? Well, like, oh God, I shouldn't have said that on air.
I mean, maybe. Like, sometimes we'll get a text after from a friend or our moms or something, and they're like, well, you can maybe swear less.
I just figured there's got to be something when the girls get together and there's wine involved, and yeah, there's going to be some slips here and there. So.
I mean, I'm sure we have, but we're generally a fairly open book too. You know, we don't have much to hide. So,
well, as I said, I think the last three songs really show that you guys love to connect. And that you're just not afraid. Like, you just had some great moments. But let's talk about the story behind forming the band. I know that you guys went on a very special trip to Hawaii, and that's where that kind of all began, where this idea was formed.
Yeah, so Brandy had gone, she kind of decided, like, she had a month off from work, and she was like, okay, I'm just going to go to Hawaii, I'm going to stay in an Airbnb, and I'm going to songwrite. And she's like, whoever wants to come down and hang out with me is welcome to. So Hawaii is like Katie's happy place. So she
was, it'd be
there.
Mine too.
Yeah. Right?
Absolutely. Take me there now. I'd be there. Yes.
So she was there in like an instant. And I came down for a couple of days, and we all overlapped for a few days. And so all the songs we're writing together kind of just ended up coming out country, which for me was really weird because I did not grow up on country music at all.
Especially where you guys played before.
Yeah, I did grow up in Calgary, but I'm a city girl. But Brandy and Katie are both, they were both raised on cattle farms. Country music is kind of in their DNA. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, getting the two of them together, it just kind of happened. And then we had all these country songs. Like, we were just churning them out, and because we weren't really writing for anything. We were just writing just for fun. Like, we would have some Mai Tais and write some songs.
So see what happens, right? Mai Tais, wine, you know?
Yeah, exactly. At the end of it, we kind of looked at all these songs and we thought, well, two of us, Brandy and I, both lived in Calgary. And so we were like, well, we kind of like hanging out. Why don't we just see if we can get a few bar gigs around the Calgary Stampede, and we'll just see each other once a year, play some loose gigs, and have a good time. And we sent the songs to some friends of ours at Coalition Music in Toronto, which is a management company that we'd known them. They had been supporters of our other act, but never had worked with us formally. But we respected their opinion, and so we sent them some of the songs and just said, you know, what do you think? And they said, well, we think you guys should stop doing all that other stuff you're doing and just focus on this. So
great news.
It was great news. And it turns out none of us are very good at doing anything halfway. Like, our idea to just have a fun drinking band very quickly spiraled out of control. So we ended up booking quite a few gigs. And it was at that point that we were like, okay, we need a real shredder of a guitar player to kind of take this thing to the next level. And and so we asked around a little bit to people we knew and trusted, and one name kept coming up. People are like, you gotta meet Tara McLeod. You gotta meet Tara McLeod. And so we did. She was playing a gig with another band in Vancouver, and so we actually flew out and took her for a coffee, and it was like love at first sight.
The girl's sisterhood.
Yeah, and she's like me. She was not in the country music genre. She kind of grew up on classic rock. She played in the metal band Kitty.
Mm-hmm. I remember
for quite
that.
A while.
Yeah,
yeah, but you know, we're not exactly a traditional country band, and so we wanted her, and we were like, we hope she will see past our countryness and want us to. And she did. So
that is awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Because you guys are so unique, you know, like with every one of you, you're so talented and successful in your own rights as solo artists. Tell us about the careers. So the fans that don't know your backstory, maybe give us a little bit about that.
Man, our backgrounds are really varied, actually. Mm-hmm. So Tara, I kind of mentioned, she's been playing with tons of bands. She does some work with Classic Albums Live, which they basically just play classic albums down note for note. Mm-hmm. Like they'll take like a Led Zeppelin album. And so she's a monster musician. It's
she's
insane.
She's so good.
Yeah, and she still is actually technically a member of Kitty, but we're just lucky that they're not doing much touring right now. So, yeah.
Thank God.
Right? So that's kind of her background. Katie, it came up in a similar way. She was a lead singer for a band called Jackalope for many years. I don't know if you remember them.
I do.
Yeah. So every so often, if we're sitting around, we'll dig up like her Cribs episode of like MTV Cribs episode of Jackalope and tease her about it.
The other day.
Because it's right.
Yeah.
Because if you get to know Katie, like she's a farm girl, you know, like she grew up on a farm. She's just the sweetest. And Jackalope, I think, was this, it's like you just don't expect her to be in an industrial rock band. You can't care. Like it's what you're like, how did that happen? But I mean, she was a great fit for the band. Her voice was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually she ended up kind of going off on her own on a solo project. And then she released, I think, 6 or 7 solo albums, which is kind of in sort of a more country vein.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what she was doing when we formed Nice Horse. And Brandy and I both actually, we have similar backgrounds. We both have classical music degrees.
Mm-hmm. I know you too do.
Yeah. So, which is really strange. So Brandy is actually, she's trained as an opera singer. So she has a master's in opera from the University of Melbourne. And I am an orchestral bassoonist. So we both went to University of Toronto for our undergrads, and then I completed my master's at the University of Southern California. So we met a little bit through the classical world. We actually didn't meet while we were at U of T, oddly,
mm-hmm.
but we met through mutual friends later on after we had both graduated.
And here you're playing country.
It's bizarre, right?
Who would have ever thought that a bassoonist would be looked for a country band?
Yeah, it's really weird. That kind of speaks to our roots as not a serious project, right? Because when we were forming the band, like, Katie's a great guitar player. Both Brandy and Katie are killer vocalists. Like, they're both so good. And so they swap leads in the band. And Brandy had played bass most of her life. Like, she played bass in high school jazz band and kind of kept it up through university, even though it wasn't her focus. And mm-hmm. So I was like, well, we need a drummer, I guess. Yeah. So I was like, well, how hard can it be? The answer is pretty hard, actually. But I was lucky that I played in some projects where we had very good drummers. So I basically just called up all the drummers Brandy and I had worked with in our previous project and was like, can you please just give me a crash course? Just enough to get me through some bar gigs around
pressure.
And then when the band kind of started to take off a bit, I was like, oh, I really have to get serious about this. It was an accident.
It was an accident
that a bassoon player ended up playing drums in a country band. But here I am now.
No. You know what? And that's when you look back and you know what? It just makes, you know, such great memories when we think we're on a certain road.
I know. Isn't life funny?
That's right. Pointing in one direction, then wow, we just do a complete around the turns.
Totally.
But look what's happened and look what's come out of this quartet. You guys are so good. And you actually started working with, like, Jeff must have just been reeling, knowing, you know, the kind of talent that he has, you know, individually in each one of you. So let's talk about Jeff, your producer.
Yeah, so we were very lucky that Coalition kind of set us up with Jeff as a producer early on.
If everybody doesn't know who that is,
Jeff Dalziel. So he is the CCMA Producer of the Year, the current reigning CCMA Producer of the Year, I think. And he's also won a couple years previous. And he is like, he's such a cool guy. I don't know if you've ever met him, but he's very unassuming, really nice, and then just a powerhouse producer. So we had never heard of him before working with him, but Coalition was like, I think we have a producer in mind for you guys. Like I said, I was new to the drums. We were new as a band. You know, it's common in country music to hire musicians. Like often an artist will go into the studio and they'll have a studio guy playing drums, a studio guy playing bass, a studio guy playing guitar, and they'll add vocals on top and that's their record.
They do it all day long. That's like exactly. These guys are masters at what they do. Yeah.
So when and remember, we had not started the band actually intending to make a record. Mm-hmm. We were just going to be a live band for Stampede. So when we were looking at going into the studio, we'd all been around the block enough to know that maybe we were not the right people to be recording our record. And like, I was like, I've been playing the drums for a year, and we met Jeff and we said to him, you know, like, we get it that we're not like, I'm not a studio drummer. Like, I understand. He's like, no, that's what's special about you guys is you play your own instruments and that makes you sound unique. And he's like, I'm not putting anyone else on this record. You That's guys so are playing awesome. It. And in hindsight, I'm really glad that he fought for that, even though we were, you know, kind of willing to just, that's what makes you the band you are. And he was right. And that's part of the genius of Jeff Dalziel, I think.
Well, he
saw that before we did.
Before you did, yeah. Because like so many artists would die to work with him. They don't think fans sometimes understand the importance of producers and exactly what they do, but like they take each one of you, especially when you're dealing with a group. You know, it's one thing to deal with, you know, a single artist, but when you're dealing with an entire group, he's got to sit back and see where your strengths are and see what you guys are good at. And then it's up to him to help hone that sound in. And he believed enough in you guys.
Yeah, we were really lucky. And I mean, to be clear, like I joke about only having played the drums for a year, which I had, but I've been a musician my whole life. So I think when he looked at us, he was like, he recognized the high level of musicianship he was working with, even if it perhaps didn't apply to the particular instruments we were playing at the time. But because Katie also, I should say, was new to the banjo. Like, she is a great guitar player, but when we started the band, she was like, I'll play the banjo. And the ganjo was not good enough for her. Like, she was like, that's a cheater's banjo. I'm playing the five string. And so, you know, she was new to that instrument too. Brandy was dusting off her bass because she had not been playing bass for a long time. Like, we were all a little rusty.
See, this is where hot mess comes in real quick, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, we're musicians, you know, yeah. And so I think Jeff did look at that and he was like, no, even though these girls are maybe a bit of a hot mess on their current instruments, there's something here. And so he really whipped us in the shape on that first record. That's
for
sure.
Oh, I'm telling you, you know what, and every single one of us can relate to this because like I was even saying, when you look at this first single Hot Mess, like the video too, all of it is just like so brilliantly done. And I just like, I'm killing myself laughing as I'm watching it going, God, can I relate to this? And it's just the lyrics behind this song. So let's play this one first and then we'll come back and talk about it. So let's play Hot Mess by Canada's fastest growing band right now, Nice Horse.
Empty phone at 3%. Saw the camera flashing, damn light must have been red. Where'd I put my purse again? Sunglasses, top down on the rental and it's raining. Daddy says I can't be saved. Mama says I have it made. Bank says I've depreciated. I'm just a hot mess. That's just the way it is. I call it success. If I get out. Oh, loan and when I can just borrow. Oh, is that today? I swear I thought it was tomorrow. Didn't lock the door again, just let yourself in. And if you could feed the cat, that would be oh so. Daddy says I'll raise some hell, mama says apply yourself. Preacher thinks I need a little help. I'm just a hot mess, that's just the way it is. I call it a success if I get out the house half dressed. Oh, I could get my shit together, but this is too much fun. Oh, you can't get this kind of crazy with just anyone. Hot mess, I'm just a hot mess. Woo-hoo. Gas tank empty, phone at 3%. I didn't see the light was red. I'm just a hot mess. That's just the way it is. I call it a success if I get out the house half dressed. Oh, I could get my shit together, but this is too much fun. Oh, you can't get this kind of crazy with just anyone.
That is Hot Mess from the band Nice Horse. You're listening to Music's Journey. And now, back to our guest. Now that Krista is here, we can close the gate.
Just endless horse fun.
That's right. It's always going to be there. He's going to be on it. I am so sorry.
Let me ask you this, Krista. How is a drum solo like a sneeze?
Oh, God.
I don't know.
You know it's coming, but there's nothing you can do about it.
I'm stealing that one.
Oh no. Oh God, this is the second person encouraging him. No.
Thank you.
Krista, stick to the girl's side. No. Well, that was a great debut single for you guys that was out in March, and it is just absolutely amazing. And every single person can relate to this. Like when you relate, like for me, Lord have mercy, you know, running magazine and writing and creating the podcast and other projects on the list. Hot Mess is exactly what we look like behind the scenes. And now that everybody knows that and you guys talk about it for real, but this video was so funny and it was just right on. But the sound you guys have in the song is really incredible. Talk about that.
This song is hands down my favorite one that we have recorded so
far. Me too. And
I think this tune, also produced by Jeff Delziel, I should say, is kind of when we hit our stride, particularly with Tara in the group. Because our first record that we made, she actually was not a member of Nice Horse yet. And it was just, if you compare Hot Mess to those first recordings, there's just something missing. Like when I go back and listen to them, I'm like, no, that's not the band.
But this is honing in the sound, and man, you hit it right on the head with this one.
Hot Mess is the track that we were like, yep, that's it.
Yep, this is our sound.
Like, it's kind of rock, which is, you know, me and Tara, and it's kind of country, which is Katie and Brandy. And it sort of, yeah, it, like you said, encapsulates that paradox that is in our band too, mm-hmm. right? Where it's like,
well,
and in anybody running a business where you have to have it together mm-hmm. to do this, but you just feel like a disaster the whole time.
It describes it perfectly.
Right.
It does. It really does. Because you got to be really good at what you do. And it might be chaos behind the scenes. But when it comes right down to it, you pull it together and you're calm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's just that craziness, you know, that gets you there. Right.
I like to say it's like just falling off a cliff for like 3 weeks.
Well, it was such a fun song to listen to. But then when the video came out, when you're watching this, you can tell there's an A personality There's the one that's laid back. Tell us about who's who in the band.
In the band. So
are they going to kill you for this
one? I always get
there's no wine involved in this conversation, but you don't really do it anyway. Okay.
You know, I was watching, it came up on our most recent Line at Nine that I had never seen an episode of the Golden Girls.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns out it just dropped on Amazon yesterday. And so I went and watched a couple episodes and I texted the girls within the first 3 minutes. And I was like, I think I'm Dorothy.
Yeah, because they're celebrating their anniversary for that show right now.
35th anniversary, as it turns out. Yeah. So, and then I was kind of trying to pigeonhole the other ones, and I couldn't. And Brandy's like, be very careful about what you say next. But, Kate, I would say...
Spill it.
Because I'm on this Golden Girls train now, but Brandy and Katie are kind of each a little bit of a mix of Blanche and Rose. Like, they're both... the fact that they were both solo artists, I think says a lot about them. Yeah. You know, they're real dreamers and go-getters, and sometimes they clash because they're very similar. Mm-hmm. And they hate it when I point that out. And, Brandy is just the biggest dreamer that I know. Like, if she was left unchecked, she would either be probably running the world or living in a box somewhere. Like, she just dives. She's going to kill me for saying that if she ever listens to this.
I almost spilled my tea. I almost spit it up.
She just dives into things, like, head first. And so, when I met her, I would have never been a solo artist because... On day one, I would have looked around and said, this makes absolutely no sense, and gone and been an accountant. Like, there's just no way. Like, I get dragged kicking and screaming into a lot of things. And so my role, I think, is sometimes to check Brandy's dreams. I'm a little bit
keeping
of a
keeping her grounded out of the clouds
dream
a little.
Killer. Yeah.
You got that balloon ribbon attached. Go, come back down. Come back down.
Yeah. So that's Brandy. And then Katie is kind of our little social butterfly. Like, she's if we're out at a party and there's someone that we meet that we want to connect with again, Katie's the one collecting the phone number. Like, she's... if we're having, like, a little hotel get-together after a show, have a glass of wine or whatever before we go to bed, Katie is the one who wants to host it because she likes to just fall asleep with the sounds of us partying.
Your voices put her to sleep. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like comfort zone. Yeah.
And Tara is, Tara and I are very similar, actually. Like, we're both kind of, like, we've got two lead singers in our band, right? Like, we're very happy just to be a little more in the background. But Tara has, like, a wicked sense of humor. And she likes to be a bit mysterious.
You can see that in her interviews.
Yeah.
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 That playful side of her.
Yeah. But she's just, when we met her, I was like, how have you not been in my life forever?
That's so nice. Because developing all of that has really made you guys stand out. And you can see the realness of what you guys put on the screen as well as when you're on the stage. Well, you can really see that connection. And I think that's what everybody, you know, can relate to is when that authenticity is there.
Well, and it's awesome to me that you say you could kind of see those personalities come through in the Hot Mess video.
Oh God. Yeah.
Because that video, actually, I mean, again, that the song is my favorite. The video is probably my favorite to shoot so far, too. It's it was directed by Lisa Mann.
Who, I was going to say, you got to tell us about this because, my God, who came up with that?
So it's based on a true story.
Are you kidding? Really?
Nope. So a couple of years ago, oh, geez, it's like every week is a year lately. So this would have been just over a year ago. When the world was still open and Stampede was still happening, there was a Stampede event at the Palace in Calgary, the first LGBTQ Stampede event. And Trixie Mattel, who is a RuPaul's Drag Race champion, was performing. And so we were asked to open for Trixie and also perform as members of her backing band, which was so cool. But this concert was like, it was one of our favorite concerts of all time. It was a drag queen extravaganza. We were up getting ready in this tiny dressing room, and there were just drag queens coming out of the woodwork being like, oh, honey, like, no. But, like, they're helping us with our makeup. They're doing our hair. Like, we just felt so inadequate as women, like, around these queens. Like, they're...
I know I would. I'd be going, take over, please.
But they're so much fun. And it was, like, the show was a blast. It was packed. And so when we thought about doing the video for Hot Mess, we're like, well, let's take that real life experience we had of all these drag queens telling us what to do and just make it into a video. So Lisa Mann is the director on that video, and she and Katie have known each other for a long time. She did a few Jackalope videos back in the day, and she did our mansplaining video also, and so she knows us pretty well at this point. And so I think that's part of why our personalities really shine, is because Lisa really knew what she was after.
Oh my God, it was good. She's so good.
There were some things we did in that video that no other director could have gotten us to do. Like, we just trusted her so much that we knew even if we felt ridiculous, she was going to make us look awesome. And I mean, sometimes awesomely ridiculous, for sure, right?
I love the expression on your face during the video. It's just some of the stuff there, and it was just so funny. It was just like, oh my God, I'm sitting in her shoes right now. I am so sitting in her shoes.
It was like, the whole thing was a blast. We did it in 10 hours, basically.
Are you
we
serious?
Shot the whole thing in 10 hours, yeah, at the Darling Mansion in Toronto. And we had basically, and so Jezebel Bardot, the drag queen in the video, she's actually a former Team Canada gymnast. So in the guitar solo when she's dancing and kind of doing all those pickups and flips and stuff, like, that's actually her. Like,
wow.
It's crazy. And she does them in 4-inch heels. Like, it's insane to watch.
It's when you can live perform in heels, that's like a different level, right?
It's crazy. Yeah. And we were kind of scrambling to get the video together because we had the idea, but we thought we were going to shoot it way later. And then we were in Toronto and we met up for lunch with Lisa, and she was like, well, I have some time on Sunday. Like, what if we could pull this together?
Wow.
And we did, miraculously. But like, we got Jezebel confirmed, I think, 3 days before, and we hadn't met her. And she showed up to this video shoot, this insane video shoot, not knowing us. She brought her entire wardrobe and let us put, like, some of the things we're wearing actually belong to Jezebel. Like, she let us borrow some of her clothes. She and I are the same size, it turns out.
Oh, my God.
So
I would have had so much fun on that set. Oh, my God.
It was a whirlwind. Like, until we were actually doing it, I was like, there's no way we're pulling this together. And then all of a sudden, there we were.
What a great job Lisa did. You guys, to be able to put your trust in like that and to be able to, because, you know, nobody signs up for acting, right?
No.
So when you're going into
especially
something like that, you just gotta let loose.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
How many wines did you have prior to?
Oh God, we couldn't. We were like, we gotta be on for
cold
this day.
Turkey. Wow.
Yeah,
poor things.
There was a lot of wine had after though.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you.
Well, you made up for it. So that's the main thing.
Exactly.
Well,
I like how you're worried about our wine quota.
Well,
I really appreciate it.
If anybody, you know, has missed that video, you need to watch it because it is just done so well. And that's the reasons why you guys stand out. And it was so real. It was just, I don't know, it was just so much fun to watch. And that's what it says about you guys. When you look at you, the energy, the way that you guys perform, it's just real. That connection's real. And you see that, as I said before, the relationship between you shines through. And,
you
know, and the musicians that you guys all are, like, pretty incredible. Like, even Tara, you know, 2 years ago, her background was with Phoebe Dawson's when I saw her.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and, you know, Sean Desmond. Like, you know, it's like there's so much you guys have behind you that people don't even realize how much talent and who you guys have played with. And
yeah, I know. Like, I just, you asked me to give Tara's background, and I, like, gave you some highlights, and I completely forgot two of the biggest artists who played this. Like, that's how much of a monster
I know. Like, but all of you, all of you guys, right? Like, every one of you guys are so talented in your own rights, and to see this band come together, you know, it's a dream band.
That's so sweet of you to say.
Yeah, dream quartet you guys are. Now, what has been the biggest surprise to you guys, you know, in the music journey, you know, in your solo careers to forming Nice Horse?
The biggest surprise. I mean, I think we would each answer that differently. But I mean, for me, it's the fact that I'm in a country band playing drums. Like, if you had told me that 10 years ago when I was playing bassoon and like kind of on an orchestral path, like, I would have been like, you're nuts, you know, like,
yes, look at you now.
Yeah. Like 10 years ago, I was finishing up my master's degree in LA and I was ready to be an orchestral bassoonist. And I spent a year freelancing down there. And then I moved back to Toronto actually for a few years. And I was playing in a lot of orchestras out there. I was the second bassoonist in the Niagara Symphony for a while. I had never really liked country music, and now I'm playing drums in a country band. Like, if that's not, my mom still says that to me sometimes. She's like, I just never would have anticipated this for you.
And how well you guys are doing with it. I don't know what to say to my friends right now, but yeah, you know, it's working.
it's really working. That's the thing. Like, and I think a part of the, you know, one surprise that kind of we've all had is you, in music, you kind of grind away at things hoping they'll work, right? Like, mm-hmm. Everything is a lot of work, and especially as an independent artist, and you're pouring your heart and soul into these things. And with Nice Horse, it was kind of the first time, certainly for Brandy and Katie and I, that we had just said, you know, screw it. Like, this isn't serious. Like, we're not putting our whole lives into this anymore. Mm-hmm. We're just going to play some music and have some fun, because we have these other projects that we're pouring our whole beings into, and it's exhausting, and we can't do that, mm-hmm. you know, for everything. And then it was the project that we were kind of like, well, who cares? That's the joke band, and that was the thing that actually went.
Because you're playing for you.
Yeah.
You're not playing for anything else. Like, you're playing for the love of music. You're playing because you guys love to write. And, you know, just to kick back and just write with no pressure and do what you enjoy, I think, is the key to any success.
Yeah, right? I think there is something to that, mm-hmm. That we, you know, we didn't realize at the time. But in hindsight, definitely, I think there was something magical about not caring too much.
Well, I think everything happens for a reason, right? And yeah. Let's go back to your single Good Life, because when this song was released, you know, it was such a huge, huge year for you guys. And this song did so much for you. The video, you know, that you guys shot took it back to where you guys first began, mm-hmm. right? And this was co-written with Jessica Mitchell. And a fabulous, fabulous writer. And, yeah. You know, she's such a great artist herself, you know, Canadian country artist here. And, you know, tell us about this.
Good Life that was a big year when we released that. That was our first Canadian country music nomination, mm-hmm. our first CCMA nomination, which was huge for us. Like, when that came, it was really out of the blue. Like, we were not expecting it. And that was a really big day. I think Katie cried. Aww. And Katie never cries.
Well, so. Pretty special. Pretty special.
It was awesome. And so, yeah. So when we wanted to make the video for Good Life, we were on a shoestring budget for this video. Mm-hmm. Like, tiny. And so we decided... and sometimes our management must hate us sometimes, because we are also used to being fully independent, mm-hmm. that sometimes we'll just decide to do things and we'll do them and we'll be halfway through and someone will say, yeah, like, oops, did we let Coalition know about this? And then we have to call them and be like,
oops.
So we're shooting a video. And we're at the airport, which is kind of what happened with Good Life.
Yeah.
So we decided we'd we'd blow our whole budget on plane tickets to Hawaii and an Airbnb in Hawaii. And we convinced Travis Nesbitt, who is the videographer and editor for that, and director, obviously, for that video, to come down. Like, we paid him peanuts, but we were like, look, you'll get a free trip to Hawaii. And you get to hang out with us, Travis, we said. And
pretty
he was
cool
like,
deal.
That's not the prize that you guys think it is, he said to us. But he's been with us for a while. We've taken him on a few tours, so he knew what he was getting into.
Oh, there you go.
And that... And so when we started, Tara was not a member of the band. We wanted to kind of take her back to our band birthplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like and have an experience there together.
Where it began.
The four of us. Where it began with what ended up being the band, like the perfect band. So so we found this amazing Airbnb that was on a ranch. And it was like, so there were horses and mules and chickens and pigs. And we got to know the owners. They lived on the property too, a little farther up. And so they wandered down and because they were curious about what we were doing. And we're like, well, we're filming this music video. And if we're, and they're like, oh, well, just use whatever you want. Like, they're like, if you want to hop on a horse, hop on a horse. And so Katie and Brandy were riding
sure.
around near back. And, and they're like, let us show you the barn. It might be awesome. And so we did a little photo shoot in the barn. And they had us up to their house. And Travis shot some footage in their hot tub. Like, it was like, they were just so welcoming. And
yeah.
And then for the rest of it, we kind of just wandered around the island. And Travis brought his camera and just shot us as we were having a good time. And so a friend of ours out there, Lauren Kearney, played tour guide for the day. And he just took us around to some spots he thought would make for good footage. And we did our normal thing, which was sit around on the beach and have some beers. And
I'm like, waiting for it. I was waiting
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, I know, right? I can't disappoint.
I was waiting for which one was going to come out. Was it cerveza or, you know, yeah. No, that's Mexico. And, wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Mai Tais.
So basically the Good Life video is like what we did on our summer vacation.
Yeah. But you know what? It's such a great song. And we're going to play that one right now because this is what started it all. And it brings back the memories to exactly where you guys started. And that is The Good Life with Canadian country band Nice Horse.
He's gonna put a ring on it someday.
2019. That is Good Life. And the band, of course, is Nice Horse. You can check out Music's Journey on Facebook at Music's Journey Podcast. Check out all our podcasts on our website, musicsjourney.com, or nowandthenmagazine.com for all the latest news and information on your favorite singers and bands like Nice Horse. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey Podcast. If you haven't heard of Nice Horse, Kim and her special guest are going to stir up some interest. Once again, here's Krista Woodlett, singer and drummer for the band.
Ay, ay, ay. Okay.
Stir up.
Yeah, I know. Stir up. I got it. Wah, wah.
I got to say, Tara has really been instrumental in getting our horse puns under control. When the band started, we were pretty bad. And when she joined, she was like, no, you guys have to stop this.
So John fits right in. He fits right in.
Just try and stop me.
It doesn't work. See, that's that hot mess behind the scenes.
Pull the reins on it real fast.
Now, The Good Life, as we just heard, is such a great tune by Nice Horse, kicking up your heels and dancing and just having a fun time kind of song. And it brings back fond memories of the trip that you guys had when you first started. So very special to you guys and the meaning for you. And just having Tara come into that whole fold was kind of nice, right?
It was awesome. Yeah, it was. It, like I said, it kind of completed the band. We're the band that we were meant to be.
How does it feel to have the fans and the music industry to see you guys as you are right now, the magic of the band, and to see that relationship and that talent recognized in such a special way?
I mean, right now it feels weird because we're... Cowgirl is our highest charting single to date,
mm-hmm.
and we want nothing more than to just be on the road.
I bet it's kind of so hard right now.
And so it's such an odd time. And we're very grateful that, you know, we've been able to kind of continue our careers in this way and keep building momentum even during the pandemic. But it's been very odd, mm-hmm. to not be able to kind of be out there actually interacting with fans and playing for audiences. And it's been really strange.
I think it kind of takes us back. I think, you know, we've said this so many times on the show, but when people used to gather around the radio, right, is how families connected. And that was their special time. And I think that's, you know, kind of what we're heading to. And, you know, people just being able to communicate and get their music across, because music is life and it just connects every single person on the globe. And, you know, our stories, whether or not, you know, you're going through a hard time or, you know, you just want that uplifting story that just, you know, connects and brings your family some laughter and life. You know, it's music's universal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, this is just a new time in this generation that they've never had to do this before, but our parents certainly did.
It's
true. You know, and our grandparents did. This is how they connected. They had to listen to the radio and that's all they had.
It's true. I love that way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. So I think it just kind of takes us back a little bit. And now we can understand, you know, what our parents went through, and they didn't have the visual effects of video and being able to have the social media and the technology that we have today, you know, to be able to connect with our fans. They only had, you know, the radio station that played your song. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the show that played your song and you either connected or you didn't. So, you know, there's so much more out there, and, you know, Twitter and social media, you can still get on there and talk to your fans. But ultimately, you know, at least they can see videos that brings a little bit of life to what you guys are all about. And we can really take a peek inside that life. And that's why we talk about the lyrics, because it's so important to where you guys come from as writers.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's such a special time, you know, when you guys got so much to offer in your solo writing, and then to combine that and hone that writing skill. And you guys are just beginning and you guys are doing so well.
Oh, well, thank you.
Now, you, like I said, you just wrote with Jason Blaine. You've written with, I know Brandy was, I think it was Brandy that wrote in that one, and Katie.
Brandy and Tara.
Oh, Tara. Yeah. That wrote in with Jason. And then you got Jessica Mitchell. Like, what does it feel like for you guys as women, you know, to be like, to look at how deep your souls go And, you know, with some of the best writers in the world, this powerful women like in the industry, like Patricia Conroy and Michelle Wright, like you guys are in that same bracket. What does that feel like?
Well, that's really sweet of you to say. I think, you know, we've all been obviously honing our skills as songwriters for much longer than this band has been around. Like we've all been writing songs, you know, in previous projects, and it's always been kind of a big part of ourselves, which the public doesn't always see, right? Mm-hmm. And it's been really special, I think, with this band. We've done more co-writing than we ever have before, and we'll often split up into like pairs. Like we sort of mix it up. For instance, Brandy and Katie wrote Hot Mess with Robin DeLunto, who's a fantastic Nashville-based songwriter, and then Brandy and Tara wrote Cowgirl with Jason Blaine, right? So mm-hmm. like we're always kind of in these different combinations, and Brandy and I were in with Jessica Mitchell for Good Life. So it's a real treat to be able to work with a lot of these writers who, you know, as good as a songwriter you think you are, you get in the room with some of these artists and writers and it just blows your mind. And like one that I gotta say has been really special for all of us is we've had the opportunity recently to write a couple times with Matresa Burke.
Oh, who, wow.
Yeah, who is the writer. She's married to Jeff Hanna from the mm-hmm. Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, which is how we met her. And she's the writer behind Strawberry Wine.
Oh.
Not to mention, you know, hundreds of other amazing
songs. Oh, my God,
songs.
She's got so many.
Into her writing room and it's like a museum for like she's her all her awards. It's ridiculous. And that I think was a real kind of pinch me moment for all of us, like to think like, man, it's to be in a room with that caliber of talent and for them to be so generous mm-hmm. with sharing their skills with us is a really special thing.
I think it's a learning experience each time you go in, because when you collaborate with somebody, like they're learning from you too.
And, absolutely.
You know, it's not just the other way around, because like you guys have got so much to offer yourselves, but to be able to go in, it's just special moments, I think, for probably every one of you. And it's just how well you connect. And it's just certain writers, you know, a lot of people they hear about the song, but they don't really pay attention to who wrote it.
Yeah.
And so many songwriters just don't get that recognition, you know, to how good they are. And then you know, people are surprised when they hear somebody's name and say, oh my God, that they wrote that. They wrote that. Like there's so many writers that just don't get seen. And, you know, she does some amazing work. She's written some huge hits.
She's incredible. And I mean, another one, Carolyn Dawn Johnson, we've done some writing
her.
With, and we've cut a song that we wrote with her, but, it's not out yet, but mm-hmm. It just, when you're in the room with these people, it's incredible. And they're, you know, in the case of Carolyn Matresa, they're these really powerful women and great artists in their own right too. And like, they really make you up your game as a writer, mm-hmm. you know, like you go in there wanting to be the best possible writer you can be.
Well, so. It's been pretty amazing journey and the accomplishments you guys have had. You guys got to be so, so proud. You guys were on tour as well with Tom Cochran of all people, which is, you know, amazing.
We were. Yeah. That. So again, in the weird history of this band, our first big tour was opening for Tom Cochran. So we were just like, what, how is this our life?
I know, it's like the crazy journey you guys have had.
And yeah, it was nuts. And the thing that I will say about Tom and about, because we toured with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band later, and the amazing thing to me about both of those tours is just how genuine and generous and lovely everybody was to us, which we've heard is not always the case on opening tours.
Yeah.
But has certainly been our experience with those artists in particular. Tom's band, Red Rider, was incredible also. Like they were so welcoming. I remember one day they were running really late on their sound check. And so ours was getting, because that's what happens, right? Like the headlining act just takes as long as they need. And then you get whatever time is left over.
Right.
And usually they were pretty tight to schedule, but on this day they ran a bit long, and so we're scrambling to get all our instruments on stage, and his whole band is like, his drummer Davide Dorenzo, who's like probably one of the best drummers in the world, is grabbing my cymbal stands and hauling them on stage for me. Like, it's, they were just so nice. They were wonderful to
us. That's amazing too, because I know that the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band has helped so many Canadian artists, and you know, like, they have really opened up the doors and really, you know, shown the ropes as veterans, and but the talent behind that band, but what they do and taking the time to be able to work with artists is pretty incredible.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, we were just prepared to stay out of their way, right? Like, we, as the opening band on a tour, you just, you do your job and you stay out of the way. But they sought us out. Like, Jeff Hanna came to our dressing room after the first show to chat. And after the last show of the tour, we had a huge party with them in one of the dressing rooms. And now when we go down to Nashville, which, I mean, given this, the state of the US-Canada border right now, I don't know if we'll be doing again in the near future, but we always go and visit Jeff and Matresa, and they usually will feed us dinner and a bottle of wine. And it's really
special, it's relationship. So,
yeah, it's incredible how generous they are to younger artists like us. And like, Jeff has sent Tara t-shirts, and like, they talk guitar stuff, and it's really cool.
You guys have come from so much, like just 2019, traveling to Europe again. You guys just came off, I think, the plane, right? When COVID hit?
Yeah. So we were scheduled to play in Switzerland in mid-March, and we were rehearsing in Toronto leading up to it. And every day we would wake up and check the news in Toronto, and we were like, for sure this show's going to be canceled. For sure it will. And it wasn't canceled, and it wasn't canceled. And the day before we were supposed to leave, we called our agent, and Paul at Sakamoto, and we're like, so this show is canceled, right? And he was like, it isn't. You got to go. And,
oh, wow.
And so we're like, okay, well, like, here we go. So we got on the plane. We landed in Switzerland. We woke up the next morning to a call from the promoter saying the show was canceled.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and at that time, it was a bit of a scramble for us to get home, because we had, the way we had routed in Europe is we were supposed to go on from Switzerland to Paris and then fly home from Paris.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously at that point in time, France was one of the worst hit countries.
That's right.
EU. So it was not a good idea for us to go on to France. And so we ended up, basically we spent a couple nights at an Airbnb in Zurich, and luckily we were only supposed to stay there for one night, and the Airbnb hosts were so generous with what was going on globally. They said, you know what, we have no one else coming in. If you guys need an extra night, just stay. Which,
no,
was
that's really, really, really good. Yeah. Oh my God.
And so we were able to stay there one more night while we kind of just sorted out all our flights and everything home. And we had a very quick turnaround and got back to Canada. And we were joking the other day, we had a Zoom songwriting session together, and we were joking that we didn't really realize it was kind of the last time we were going to see each other for 6 months.
Like,
we
all, incredible?
We landed in Toronto and all sort of split our separate ways, just the way the flights worked out. Right. And we were racing to catch connections, and Taryn Katie's guitars didn't make it, and so they were trying to track those down, and so we were just kind of like, you know, we barely even said goodbye, and before we were all running off in different directions at the Toronto airport, and that was the last time we saw each other.
Crazy times, you know, like, yeah, especially with you guys, because everything has been so fast and furious, you know,
yeah,
with the whole band, and it's just been such a crazy journey really quickly, and it's got to be fairly overwhelming for all of you, regardless to the success of the band. Like, you guys have been thrown into it, and there's just been no warm-up whatsoever for you guys.
Nope.
And then now you've got this time back, and you've got your brand new single that came out, you know, Cowgirl, which was written again with Brandy and Tara and Jason Blaine. It's just such an amazing journey to see. And I know that a lot of the bands were really worried about whether or not they were going to release their singles this year and whether or not they were going to wait, because, you know, a lot rides on that, especially if you're not touring and being able to go out there and do your radio spots to promote the singles. So what was the decision behind that for you guys?
I mean, certainly in March and April, we had some moments, individually, if not as a group, where we thought, like, well, it's been a good run, and I guess that's it, you know? Like, because it just, no one knew what was happening, and we were watching our entire summer get canceled, and we're not a huge band, you know? Like, we don't necessarily have the resources that we need to withstand a break like that. But we thought long and hard about Cowgirl, and we decided kind of just to go for it. And it was a big, it was a conversation and a decision, you know, among us and our whole team. But the deciding factor was when Warner actually said, you know, we will track this for you. So we will put it out to radio. And that was a relationship that we had been hoping to develop for a long time. Because we, up till now, we have had no label. So our management company has sort of acted as our label. And of course, the label support does really help at radio. So the fact that Warner said, you know, let's give this a go and we'll try it with you. We thought, well, what bizarre timing this is, but hey, why not?
you're not going to turn away from that. That's amazing. Well, and it says a lot about you guys. It really does.
Again, we were just so grateful that in the middle of a pandemic, they were like,
here we go.
Here we go. Like, it's because we did have that moment where we're like, well, this
next
is the
leg of the race.
Okay,
I did it this time. I'm sorry.
It's hard. I know. It's hard to turn it off.
I didn't quite mean it that way. It just came out, but then it fit. So it's like, all right. So let's play this one right now. This is your latest, and it is such a hit right now, and that is Cowgirl by Nice Horse.
If you can't help get into trouble, and you can't help speak your mind, you got your 5-inch grace from your mama, and your 5 from your daddy's side. If the devil gets nervous when the sun comes up, like, good Lord, watch out, here she comes. If you're Sunday morning singing in the front row, but you got a little dent in your halo, hey-o, you might be a cowgirl under neon lights, shining like a rhinestone in the night, after working all day in the sun, sweating for a little bit of fun. Big city or small town girl, from anywhere around the world, whatever you
love the video for that cowgirl, and it's Nice Horse to the Rescue. If you're a singer, a band, or manager, contact Effects Media for photography, artwork. For posters, events, or album covers, we handle it all. Email info at effects with an A, media.com. Now back to Music's Journey with your host, Kim Sear. Now, Krista, how can you tell a drummer's at the door?
I don't know.
The knocking speeds up.
Okay, that's just unfair.
I'm telling you.
I'm an ex-drummer, so I can tell those jokes.
I can't stop, but I know it's coming because when he's writing down notes, when I'm just about ready to announce the song, I know.
One more. Okay. One more. What kind of horse do you ride on Halloween? See, Halloween's coming up. So what kind of horse do you ride on Halloween?
I don't know.
A nightmare.
Oh, I'm so glad you're laughing right now.
I'm here all week. Try the veal.
That's a good one. I feel like we can use that one.
I told Jason McCoy the other day when I had him on and we had Shane Goosey on. I said, you know, we're going to have a dad's joke hour and just let these guys do it and get it out of their system so that the rest of us that do the eye rolls and the the other noises come out.
Let us know when you're done and we'll come back.
We'll come back on the air. Anyway, this is such a great, great song because it does talk about you guys and everything that you guys stand for. And that's the independence individually, the fierceness as strong women. All women out there, young girls out there, is just such a positive message, you know, to be given right now. And it's something that everybody needs to hear because everybody is going through stuff right now. But to not be afraid, to be strong, you know, to speak up for yourself, that's a very empowering, fun song.
It really is true to who we are and what we believe in. And I wasn't in the room for this one, for the writing of this one, but Brandy has told a story about it before, which I think kind of sums it up. And apparently the original idea that they were batting around and playing with was every cowgirl needs a cowboy. Mm. And Brandy and Tara were just like, you know what? This is not us. Like, we don't need anybody.
Shaking my head going, thank God they come to their senses.
But then they were kind of on the cowgirl train. And so they thought, well, what about this idea that, you know, everybody is it doesn't matter what you wear, where you're from, mm-hmm. everybody has this cowgirl spirit in them. And that's what they ended up with. So, when they brought that song back to the band, we loved it.
Yeah. Perfect, you know, perfect song to release right now. And I said, I know, I think that there's so many young girls that I've seen, you know, that have responded to this. And it doesn't matter whether you're a girl or a guy, you know, everybody can get the same message out of this song. And you can be older too and still get that message.
Absolutely. You know, it truly is an all-encompassing, all-inclusive mm-hmm. message. That's how we intended it to be. We've been doing little cowgirl spotlights on our social media, like people in our lives who we think really encapsulate the idea of cowgirl as we see it. And they are definitely not all women.
Exactly. You know, and that's what I mean. Like, this is a platform that you guys have been able to use and really deliver positive messages because you guys talk for real. And that's what we really love about it. And I know you guys are up for the CCMAs. Yay! So that is coming up really, really soon on September 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And TD Bank is going to be presenting that on Global. So how excited are you about this one?
This is crazy. This is our third CCMA nomination mm-hmm. for Interactive Artist of the Year. And literally, I told you, like, the first time we got it, it was madness. We couldn't believe it. And every year has felt like that. Yeah. Like, every year that we get that nomination, we're just like, what world are we living in that we that our name is up against these incredible artists? So it's pretty special.
Very, very surreal. And you know what? You guys deserve it. is so needed. And you know what? We need that women power out there. And this quartet could not be more amazing than what you guys are. And I'm so proud of everything you guys have accomplished so far. I can't wait to see what you guys come up with next. I really can't. I'm going to have to join in on some of these like Wine at Nine times and chat with you guys. You know, because you guys are just so much fun, and you know, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Now, what we want to do is we do a question and answer here, and this is where you tell me what you feel about a certain word, or you fill in the word.
Okay,
if that's okay with you.
Yeah, and I'm nervous. Just, all
oh,
of a
well, no, you'll be okay. I'll take care
okay.
of you. All right. All right. Creativity is.
Creativity is the greatest gift. I honestly, especially being in this pandemic, I feel that way because it doesn't always, it's not always there when you want it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, I think it truly is a skill you can hone, and it is the thing that kind of makes life worth living.
Absolutely. Being yourself is.
Being yourself is the most important thing.
Perfect. When I achieve blank, then I'll be happy.
That's a joke question for a musician. I've learned this over the last, I don't know, 10 plus years, there's no milestone where you will then be happy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of the things in our lives and in our career right now are things I dreamed about and thought maybe at one time, if I could get a top 40 hit, say, then I'll be happy. And now we have a top 40 hit. And am I happy? Well, yeah, I mean, I am, obviously, but it's not, you're never done.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. See? It's that power inside, right?
Yeah.
Biggest mentor?
Oh, man. That's a really tough one. I mean, Jeff Dalziel pops to mind for sure. If I'm thinking about, mm-hmm. If I'm thinking about drumming in particular and kind of growing as a musician that way, like he was huge in my development as a drummer.
That's
and
awesome.
Continues to be whenever I have embarrassing drumming questions that I'm like, I don't know if I can ask anyone else this. they're gonna know I'm a fraud. I text Jeff. So
where do you draw your inspiration from?
I have no idea. Every song that I write, I think, well, that's it. That's the last song that I had in me. I'm never going to have a good idea again.
Well, here, let me be your inspiration. Okay. You've got everything right now inside of you. And I'm telling you, you are so talented, and I am so proud of you.
Aw, thank you so much.
So how's that?
That's good.
There we go.
So I draw my inspiration from you.
Your favorite female artist to date?
Oh man, like I have to pick just one.
Yep.
Oh, this is tough. I like, can I say the Dixie Chicks?
Is that a cheat?
Because it's
no,
technically three of them.
No, you can't say the Dixie Chicks. It's the Chicks.
Oh,
that's right.
God.
It's the Chicks.
The Chicks.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's the Chicks. I'm so used to, for those of us who grew up with them, it's really hard.
If there is a male that you would like to perform with on stage that is current today, doesn't matter what genre, who would be the one that would be your dream?
A male artist, you said.
Yeah. Dream performance.
Maybe Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, God love you.
My mom would die.
Oh, so would I. Can I come on this one? Can this be my dream too? Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm invited. Yay. I love him. He's such a great songwriter, but such a great artist altogether.
He's awesome. And everything I hear about him, I'm like, oh, he's just a good guy too.
He is. He really cares about his fans. He really cares about the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's made his whole life about that. And that's what I love about him. Favorite moment on the road?
Favorite moment on the road. Well, it's funny. My birthday's coming up actually this weekend. And I was thinking, often we are on the road for my birthday. And one time the girls took me for sushi in Yorkton, Saskatchewan.
And it must be some good stories behind this one.
That pops to mind. Oh, I had another good birthday actually in Moose Jaw. We went to the spas. That was nice.
Oh, that would be so nice.
I don't know. It's really, that's really hard. Oh, God. Okay. Here's one. Like, we went to, we toured in Europe last year, for the first time. And we had like 4 days off in Nice, France, which was incredible.
Wow. That would be so pretty.
That was bonkers. That beats sushi in Yorkton, Saskatchewan.
Okay. Yes, I agree. that one's up there. I totally agree with that one.
that was special. I mean, the shows were special, but even just being together in the south of France was amazing.
Well, we are going to wish you guys all the very best on this third CCMA nomination. This is so incredible for you guys, and I can't wait to watch on September 27th for the CCMAs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Global. And we are so excited and happy for you guys. I thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I really, really appreciate it. It's great to get to know you guys a little bit better. I'm a huge fan, and I just can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Now, and happy birthday.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So, you know, we'll send you, it's going to sound really bad, but John and I will send you a birthday song.
Come on.
It's going to sound really bad.
Because really we did this. Excited.
I thought you were going to say we're going to send her some sushi. Okay. Oh.
Yeah. Make sure it's from Yorkton, though. My favorite sushi joint.
Now, we can also remind everybody that they can tune in to Monday, Wine at 9, every single week for a little bit of fun time with you guys. So 9 a.m., everybody. That's Mountain Time. So just remind everybody where they can reach you and see the latest news for Nice Horse.
We are all over the internet. Our website is nicehorsemusic.com, and all our socials are at Nice Horse Music.
And if you guys haven't heard Cowgirl, you need to download it, request it at your local radio station, your Canadian country radio stations. And I'm telling you, this is such a fantastic song. If you haven't seen the video, you need to check them all out. Just, you know, work with me here. Just check them all out. You will absolutely love them. So again, thank you so much for being here on the show with me today. I absolutely loved it. Thank you so much, Krista.
Thanks so much. This was really fun.
Good, good.
Thanks,
okay.
Krista.
And hopefully you'll come back and we'll be able to have all of you guys on. That would be great.
Yeah, I know. You could have another one of the girls on and they'd give you completely different answers to every one of the questions.
Well, you know what? This is the whole point. We just love every one of you guys. And it was great to talk to you. And you know what? It's great to talk to a female drummer. I just love that part.
Well, I'm so glad we could make this happen.
Yeah. All right. So listen, good luck on the 27th. And you know what? This is going to be an amazing start for Journey. So congratulations with Warner, too.
Thank you so much.
Amazing. You take care of yourself and stay safe.
You too.
Bye, Krista.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Kim Sear from Music's Journey, and I am so grateful for Krista Woodlett for taking time to be able to talk to us today from Nice Horse. So what a great, great gal, and I look forward to seeing her on the CCMAs on the 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Global. So hopefully you guys will stay tuned and watch and see what happens to who wins. We got some great Canadian talent out there, and wow, we ever really killing it in country. So hopefully we'll see you all there. And up next, we'll be having Chris Buck. We've got so many coming up in the next little while with the Recklaws, and we're looking forward to it. Anyway, catch you on the other side. Take care and stay safe.
Well, that was a lot of fun, but it's time to rein it all in. A big thank you to Krista Woodlett, singer and drummer of Nice Horse, for being with us today. You've been listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com. Please like us on Facebook and share us on all your socials. On our upcoming podcast, we'll be chatting with Michelle Wright, Chris Buck, Carrie DeMayer, Jesse T, The Recklaws, The Heels, and so many more. Our theme music is titled I Can Tell and is performed by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.